Okay, you can do this.
I know, I know. Carvana makes it so convenient to sell your car. It's just hard to let go. My car and I have been through so much together.
But look, you already have a great offer from Carvana. That was fast.
Well, I know my license plate and VIN by heart, and those questions were easy.
You're almost there. Now to just accept the offer and schedule a pickup or drop-off.
How'd you do it? How are you so strong in letting go of your car?
Well, I already made up my mind, and Carvana's so easy.
Yeah, true. And sold.
Go to Carvana.com to sell your car the convenient way.
$8,000. $8,000 of fireworks. $10,000. $10,000 of fireworks. And a legal retainer.
To the Shutdown Foolcast. Not yet. You are listening to the internet's only college football podcast. I am Spencer Hall. It's my voice that you're hearing right now. I'm joined, as always, by Ryan Nanny, Jason Kirk, Holly Hello. Anderson, and on the ones and twos, Michael
Hello.
Ray Server behind the production board. Holly, you got something to tell us?
Nothing, except that this episode is brought to you by Coors Light, mountain cold refreshment made to chill.
Thank you.
You son of a bitch.
It's the coldest, just like us.
Yes, Ryan.
I was thinking the other day about how wildly important Mike Allstott was to the city of Tampa for like a good stretch there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is this your Roman Empire?
It might be. It might be Tampa's Roman Empire. I just wanted to bring that up. Like, I don't think people know that Mike Allstott was maybe Tampa's most important person for 6 years, let's say. Something like that.
Ryan, for those of an Alex Kirshner demographic and age, who is Mike Allstott?
Mike Allstott played football at Purdue, where he was a fullback. I don't know if he overlapped with Drew Brees. I feel like that might line up, or they might have just missed each other. The most famous story about Mike Allstott, I think, while he was at Purdue, he used to, like, push his Jeep around campus, I think, or around, like, West Lafayette, just to be big and strong. He had what can only be described as a late 90s wrestling fan goatee.
Mm-hmm.
And
shoulder pads that connected at the temple. That's yes. How massive yes. His shoulder pads were.
Yes, and he played for the Tampa Bay Bucks in the like mid to late 90s, early 2000s, when they had no quarterback worth discussing, but they had a great defense, and they had Mike Allstott and Warwick Dunn doing thunder and lightning shit, and people just loved it. They loved both of them, but like Mike Allstott in particular was just like, oh man, I love seeing this beefy boy just bowl over the other men.
And he was like, he could have been a Pro Bowler, like as a blocking fullback. He was that good. There was that Tampa Super Bowl. I was thinking the entire game, like, there goes the Super Bowl MVP just flattening people. Of course, they had like 19 guys on defense who are worthy of the honor, but he did other stuff as well. Like his, his yards from scrimmage. He went over, he had like 900 yards from scrimmage every year as a, you know, as a fullback who was not the point of the offense. This is what offense used to be like, y'all.
he did not, by the way, overlap with Breeze. He missed him. Breeze was 97, 2000.
Did he?
Yeah. Okay. Allstott was a bit ahead of that time, 92 to 95. So you know that this is, of course, peak shoulder pads, eye black, and neck roll material that he was. Maybe the most neck roll fullback of all time, except when they paired in the backfield with Lorenzo Neal, who, if you do not know, mm-hmm. Lorenzo Neal is classified as both fullback and livestock, and they would put him in the backfield with Mike Allstott for the most punishing 2 yards ever gained per play in the history of the National Football League. I have a Mike Allstott story that made me kind of emotional to think about, because I was coming back from a year and a half living overseas, and I had taken a lot of sleeping drugs to get me through the flight on the way home. And I was passed out in the Seoul airport and nearly missed my flight. Shocker. And the TVs in the lounge, right, where we were all waiting. A lounge is a really, really exaggerated term for what this box was. They were tuned for some reason to the Vikings-Bucks game. Yep. Where I came out of my haze.
I know the exact game you're talking about.
Yes, and I came out of my haze and went, oh, God, I'm going to miss my flight. I'm never going to get home. I'm never going to get back to America. And I looked up, and I saw the beautiful, gyrating, shimmering shoulder pads of Mike Allstott barreling through the Vikings defense. And I was like, that's America. Mm-hmm. That's where I'm going.
In his rookie season, Mike Allstott led the Bucks in receptions and receiving yards. And was tied for the lead in receiving touchdowns.
What were the 1990s like? That's the there you have it, folks.
The quarterbacks for the Bucks that year were UAB coach Trent Dilfer, Casey Weldon, and Scott Milanovich.
Just feed the beast.
And Mike Allstott got 65 catches that year.
A 6-10 year for the Bucks, which was pretty darn good for the Bucks in those days.
That's right. That's right. Wild. I just wanted to give Mike Allstott some shine because, appropriately enough, I was at the YMCA when I remembered how important Mike Allstott was.
I think Mike Allstott, appropriately enough, owns a gym. He had maybe my favorite career-ending injury of all time, which was he lifted too many weights. That's it. That's why he had... That's like, how did you go out, Mike Allstott? I lifted too many weights and injured my neck.
God said I couldn't be that strong.
I got a little too rectangular.
Yeah, sorry, too swole, can't play the NFL anymore.
It's for soft boys, not for me. I'm out.
I think Mike Allstott also worked so well in Tampa because he looked like he could have been a pro wrestler. Like, he sort of had the vibe and the
Steiner
build.
Brothers type, yeah.
I was thinking either Steiner's or Puff Bag, like a less glamorous Puff Bagwell.
Yeah.
That's right, because I guess in Tampa, like, the boy next door aesthetic is pro wrestling.
Correct. Yeah. Yes. Right.
He'd be Tough Bagwell, not Buff Bagwell.
Yeah. That's good. That's good.
Bluff Bagwell.
They really missed on an opportunity to create an entire series of alternate Bagwells all rhyming with Uff.
The Bagwell verse.
Yeah. And their pet rabbit, Fluff Bagwell.
Yeah.
There are stories about Fluff Bagwell.
Gruff Bagwell. Oh, he's nice, but you know, that exterior.
But we're not.
Snuff
we're
Bagwell not... was a rodeo clown.
But we're not here to talk about the ground game today, are we?
We're not here to talk about things that work.
Well, in a manner of speaking.
We're not here to talk about things that advance forward at a satisfactory rate, posting a career success rate of about 50% toward
a
first
down. In a desired direction. Also, I don't know. I could probably look up what Mike Allstott made over the course of his Bucks career. But it ain't what the F-35 has made, I'll tell you that.
F-35, man, listen. If you go to Roto World and you start looking at the contract numbers,
they are looking to unload that contract.
The Bobby Bonilla of the federal government.
New York Mets. Yeah. New York Mets, please take on this deal. You're the only ones dumb enough.
How the F-35 tear its rotator? Okay. Oh, it tears everything. That actually makes a lot of sense.
Okay, well, hang on. First of all, for everyone who thinks we're terrible, if you're still hanging in after Spencer said my favorite career-ending injury is... the first thing you need to know about the story is the pilot ejected safely, okay? Yeah. It's okay. It's funny.
Didn't hit anything on the ground.
Everything is funny. Okay, now go. Okay.
The pilot survived an encounter as the F-35's pilot. That alone is a miracle.
Actually,
do you have the tweet handy that sort of set this made America aware of its prodigal plane?
This was a fun weekend of... I guess from whenever it happened, like Sunday through today,
it was so pure.
Just making sure that we will discuss this on the episode. Yes, yes.
And this was one of those times where, like, you saw the parade of blue checks and the parade of star unstar-bellied sneeches underneath, and you had to scroll pretty far down to find something terrible. Like, everyone was just enjoying this because
I
the great uniter is the F-35 being a piece of shit.
I have dropped the tweet in the chat for you, Holly.
Oh, good. Am I reading this?
Yes, please do.
All right. This is from Joint Base Charleston in Cerber's neck of the woods, or in Cerber's home stomping grounds. We're working with Marine Corps Air Station Beaufort, South Carolina, to locate an F-35 that was involved in a mishap this afternoon. First of all, okay. Mishap. Does the F-35 have haps, children?
Can't afford them.
At some point, we should probably start calling it something else. The pilot ejected safely. Second of all, that means this pilot is probably back at work. Can you imagine?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Gotta get back in that
can,
thing.
Can you hear...
Can you imagine, like, him trudging back in?
Can you hear the end after burn after reading where he comes to J.K. Simmons and goes, "Sir, we've had a whoops-a-doodle."
Here's the best part. If you have any information that may help our recovery teams locate the F-35...
Like a lost dog.
Please call the Base Defense Operations Center. They had to put their phone number up. Please call the Base Defense Operations Center at 843-963-3600. Subplot. Marine Corps Air Station Beaufort, which is known as Fighter Town East, fine, which is in Beaufort, South Carolina, which is tagged in this tweet from Joint Base Charleston, has not tweeted since March of 2022, the last time they had a jet crash. this is all this thing is good for.
Go ahead, like, server.
This is extremely dumb, but we're going to get a lot of comments from the Lowcountry if I don't just step in and let you know. It is Beaufort, South Carolina.
I'm sorry. I knew it as soon as I said it.
Tennessee
and then I
is
going.
Long Carolina. You're forgiven. It is Beaufort in North Carolina. They're both beachy, yep. Like coastal towns, but they pronounce them differently.
Oh, I had it
and they're
up.
Very passionate about it.
I leaned so hard into it because I was so sure this one was the Beaufort. I am sorry to
it is,
people
it is
South
Beaufort.
Carolina.
Yep. It is Lowcountry, Beaufort, Outer Banks is Beaufort. But
shit fire.
It's still
well, that makes two mishaps, I guess.
I love that they I mean there's so many tremendous details here, such as the F-35 is still in operation. Who would have thought? One is like in every movie, anything that's worth more than like $600 has a tracking device on it. Like No Country for Old Men said in 1972, I think, has tracking devices. Mm-hmm. This thing costs fucking $100,000 trillion and doesn't have any sort of a tracking device.
Because it's a stealth plane.
Oh, it's yeah. Secret.
We can't find it.
Also, something tells me something called AirTag wouldn't mix well with an F-35 because it's just not its natural state to stay afloat.
Although, seeing that notification on your phone would be like, F-35 has left your vicinity.
It's like, oh, thank God.
Yeah. This is the kind of event that ties otherwise innocent headline writers into knots they cannot avoid being tied in. I will share this headline from USA Today as an example. Crash site of missing F-35 jet found. How did a stealth fighter go missing? Motherfucker, it's an invisible plane!
So that's
was it raining?
We found the one thing it's good at, apparently.
The literal old Wonder Woman joke, that's what this is, right? Where did I park my invisible plane?
Oh my God, it could be a camp counselor now. Like there, that's what it can do. It can hang out in the woods.
Also,
scare children.
Please, I so want this to be an example of the pilot being like, hey, hold on, where are my chips?
At what point do you think the airbase had to unplug the phone? Because just too many people were calling.
I got my garage. Yeah, I'm on Bofa. I'm over in Bofa. Just hanging up.
What's Bofa?
Yeah.
Buford. Yeah, I'm in Bofa. I'm in Bofa.
I live over in D's.
So I'm trying to look up previous examples of a stealth plane being just oh we don't know where it is because it's invisible. F-117 missing. Missing F-117. All you get is like one was shot down. Right.
Yeah.
Let's try missing B-2. No, that brings up vitamins.
Wasn't there a
this shit doesn't happen. It's only the broken plane, and like we're saying nice things about it to say it's because of the stealthiness,
as opposed to it tried to run an update and blue screen death the whole plane. I bet that's what happened.
Thank you to user AP who asked Spencer. Everyone only asks where is the multi-million-dollar jet, and not how is the multi-million-dollar jet.
I was just hearing Slaughter Fly to the Angels, right, as it was like taking off, right? This guy ejected and got to have the real life video game experience of shoot, deployed, horizon, found, jet, streaking away from me. Like, that's the thing you don't want to see.
This is the 21st century Ballon Rouge.
Yeah.
I don't want to do it because that music depresses me, but someone set the Ballon Rouge soundtrack to the F-35 tootling away. It's tootling in my head. Here, not streaking at all.
I'm going to put a conspiracy theory out into the universe, which I recognize is dangerous. They haven't found the plane. They freaked out and created a debris field just to be like, yep, this is where it was. This is where it definitely
they find that in South Carolina.
The F-35 is a debris field.
It's a debris field. It's a very tightly compressed debris field waiting to happen.
Held together by magic paint.
There's some Chinese guy in a little booth somewhere in Hainan who's watching from his balloon cam, right? Is watching this ejection and going, y'all won't believe this shit. Holy crap.
I would also like to celebrate the suggestion of reader Disgrub King, who says, we've got to lead it back home by flying some decoy planes around it like catnip.
Your boy.
I want to know who this pilot was, and I want to know how his week is going.
He watched $100 million just soaring away from him.
He created the world's most expensive frisbee.
Well, it's not a boomerang.
I feel like with any other device, it's like, wow, it's going to fall into the wrong hands. There are no right hands for this thing.
Here, I have another answer from the timeline.
What are they going to do? Learn from it?
East.
The teens found our F-35 and are roasting it on TikTok.
Oh, yeah. No.
Right. Yeah. Like, oh, they've learned how to not fly. They already knew that.
Someone in
plane crashes out of gas. Teens just surrounding it. Oh, you thirsty?
What are those, U.S. government?
Like, think about this.
Back at it again with the black Vanta Black.
This shit's sinking in the swamps of South Carolina Dagobah, and Yoda's like, nah.
Nah.
Just like, he's like, taking his little hand and just going down.
Yeah, just
put it back. Back I will put it.
He just sort of like force pulls his keys out of it. He's like, yeah.
He pulls it out, tries again, dunk. See if it'll, nope, same one.
Changes his mind, pulls it back out. He forgot his meat sticks in the glove compartment, lets it sink again.
There are guys, like, think about this. This is South Carolina.
This 1,000% happened because there were meat sticks in the glove compartment, right?
Yeah, or
it rained.
Or he plugged his phone in and it was like, does not support Apple Play.
No,
McAfee
no,
antivirus
don't
out
these
of
things
date.
Run on, like, Windows 2000? He was probably trying to download LimeWire.
Yeah. Were you trying to play City
I'm sorry,
Sky?
It was this MP3 labeled Eminem sick unauthorized collab _ wave _ Jay-Z _BMP _AAF.
I was
Alien,
just trying
Alien
to play
Ant
Robots.
Farm featuring DMX brought it on the F-35.
Sims free download EXE. No, don't do it.
No, it's porn you won't like.
It won't run Dwarf Fortress and Cruise at the same time.
The there's not a goddamn chance the F-35 could handle Dwarf Fortress.
Dwarf Fortress, no way. That's a great way to crash when you're like, oh my god, why does this dwarf have such an elaborate backstory and no graphics? This is why.
The pilot reported that he was deeply engrossed in a game of Snood when all of a sudden...
This is the best possible one-word answer. Son, can you tell us what happened up there? Dino Park Tycoon?
Yeah. Why did you yell out rock and stone, brother, while flying a plane? Fine! I was playing Deep Rock Galactic!
What is the best part of South Carolina in which this thing could have landed?
The plane butt. The peach butt.
Just right into it?
South of the border.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah,
or
Stuckey's. I think it would blend in really well.
Directly like onto the roof of a Stuckey's.
Yeah.
They're flat.
Yeah.
Serba, what do you think?
I mean, you're the expert.
Yeah, no, I think you guys have hit them all. I can't think of anything better than those.
Yeah, I would say the cabooses at a South Carolina, like outside the South Carolina football stadium, it would be... I think concordant with the entire history of Gamecock football to have a plane.
If they found this in Williamsburg County, that's not far from Polly's Island. It could have gotten tangled up in a hammock.
You could have heard a hammock.
Dude, those hammocks are those oh, no, are so fuck good. It.
Darlington, and it's just running laps.
Yeah.
It's chasing them around and around like a bug zapper.
The lady in black claims another victim.
Great.
Get my stripe.
Yeah, he gets you.
My other favorite theory is that it was returning home to Lockheed Martin so that they could trick the Air Force into paying for it again.
Like
I know, do like the hammock theory. That's one way to keep it in the air.
Mm-hmm.
Wee. I know that if somebody found this on the ground and they were looking through the parts, at least one person was like, "Yeah, this thing's a piece of shit. I already got a Cummins in my truck."
Hey, I learned something while researching this story extensively for the past 2 days. Do you guys know, besides, I know we know the Marines fly this, the UK military flies this. Do you know the only other world military force that flies this?
Hmm.
The Italian Air Force.
That's oh, I was going to say the Pope. I should have gone with my first instinct.
Discuss.
Yeah, but that's. I think that's a choice.
What does the Italian Air Force do?
I think the Italian Air Force wants days off, and having the F-35 is a good way to get them.
Oh, signore, delivering cigarettes. Yeah, we got to take the year off. The plane is broken.
We have to bring you your pornography by the train.
A spokesman from Joint Base Charleston told NBC News the aircraft was in autopilot when the pilot ejected.
I hope so, yeah. So it works great then.
Hmm.
Evidently.
Have they all but told us that someone like remote hacked in and kicked that dude out of the airplane?
I hope it's part of the MGM Las Vegas hack. I hope it was just one person being like, "Watch this shit."
So
you made the whole plane a computer. What could possibly go wrong?
I keep saying the other best part, but the other best part is that at Joint Base Charleston doesn't just house Air Force and Navy planes. Like all of the, not Space Guard, but all of the real branches of the military have units at this base. And you know how hard they are clowning these people?
Yeah.
Like imagine being the three branches who were not responsible for this.
I hope there's a challenge. I hope somebody issues a very sarcastic challenge coin commemorating.
I just like every other branch is like, oh, well, you know, our F-18 still works. It's 40 years old. It works fine. So maybe you should have just stuck with that because it's B+ at everything.
So this is okay. A brief side note, by the way, the Italian Air Force.
Oh, good. Oh, no. Good.
Are they?
What are they up to?
Are they
now?
The ones that are devastatingly hot, or is that the Spanish cops?
I think you're thinking Spanish. About the kind of okay. the kind yeah. of fashy the Spanish kind of cops fascist. Who are super attractive.
Yeah.
the Italian Air Force. They were the ones that we sold hardest on the F-104. For those who don't know, the F-104 was the lemon we sold the rest of the world through bribery and extortion, and sold tons of them to the rest of the world. And they bought like tons of F-104s. The F-104 was known as the Widowmaker. For its frequency of crashing. Japan bought a bunch of them, and I think they had like 2% crash because it's Japan, and like generally they were super careful with the planes and didn't ask them to do things they wouldn't. Italy lost 137 of their F-104s.
Damn.
38% of them they lost to crashes, including a lot of them. I'm looking at the list here. Impact into mountain.
Wait, this is says Israel
that's like
flies
that's like
a, that's less funny.
That's like a Bears quarterback success rate.
It's Justin Fields. We had to buy 100 of them.
Yeah, it's just in the field, all right.
Can I share with you another mishap that I feel
God yes.
deserves our attention?
Is it still about the plane?
No.
Okay, we'll come back to the plane.
Right, but this is about a fall.
Unlike the plane, we'll circle back.
This was brought to my attention by our good friend Victoria. I'm just going to read it straight from the local news report in Buffalo, New York. A man was charged after he allegedly jumped a fence while under the influence of multiple drugs and alcohol and fell into a pit at the new Bills Stadium on Sunday.
Put in pit.
police he, responded is, to the
I'm
area.
Sorry, hold on. Is he okay?
He is okay.
I'm having a cellar door like swooning fit. Can you please read the last half of that sentence again?
Fell into a pit at the new Bill Stadium on Sunday.
Thank you.
Spencer, mm-hmm. he was taken to a hospital for evaluation and suffered various minor injuries. Police estimated the hole to be about 30 feet deep. Wow. They responded at about 12:20 in the afternoon and found a naked man covered in feces. The 29-year-old man mentioned to police that he was under the influence of a combination of alcohol, LSD, cocaine, and marijuana at the time.
Mixed serving together?
Serving your volume levels really enhanced that. You sounded like you're outside.
Like watching through the window, like, hell yeah, brother.
Can I just say that although we started in Lafayette, Louisiana, and yeah. later opened our one of our better known branches in Philadelphia, adding a Buffalo bureau to our extended universe has paid such rich dividends.
It really has.
Thank you, Vic and friends, for making that happen.
According to the sheriff, this was an isolated incident. That needs to be said.
This is part of a sick new teen game.
You listen. If there's a 30-foot hole, I'm gonna get fucked up and fall into it.
It's called Bill's jumping, and teens are going crazy for it.
So in both of these stories, something shitty fell to the ground.
But one of them emerged unscathed. Yeah, one of them. And it was the Buffalo Man.
One of them we're actually worried about. Mm-hmm. One of them, the well-being we're actually concerned
with. One of them
with.
We feel bad
one
for.
One of them has redeemable value.
It's... I would advise the city of Buffalo and the authorities therein not to leave 30-foot holes like that.
Where
Bills fans can scale a fence and get to them.
It's called art.
I would
art,
simply
Ryan.
Close the hole for the during game.
How else are they supposed to settle the final matches of their wrestling feuds that they're having in the parking lot?
And
you got to go big
like,
for that final blow off match.
Point. Bills fans are like gerbils; they can jump straight up a lot farther than you think.
Yeah,
Ryan, you can't just cover that hole. If you cover that hole, they're like, I can get through there.
Yeah,
I'll go through that shit.
Yeah, then there'll be people like in putting the hole. Up a red flag, charging bull.
I'm gonna put a table on top of it and then
charging
go through
buffalo
it.
Yeah. And then power bombs.
Yeah,
well.
Hell yeah,
yeah, yeah. Oh. No, you're right. They learned it from Mario. Mario jumps, goes butt first.
What's just a brief survey of the crew here? What's the farthest you've fallen unbraked? Like like
without injuring myself?
No, you can injure yourself. I mean,
this
like
will not
the
surprise
far,
you at all, but I'm pretty sure I can beat everybody.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Onto the ground or in, like, I've
from any
fallen...
point, from any point onto the ground, an uninterrupted fall
okay.
from
because I've fallen, like, two stories into water.
Okay. I think that qualifies.
So it didn't feel good. Jump counts, right? Like, it's
yeah,
not...
I did jump. I did jump,
oh,
but
jumping
I jumped
counts.
Poorly.
I got way further than that.
I don't know if water counts, because, like, we've all done, like, a high dive, right?
What if you fall on your back?
Spencer, how high would you say the bluff is? How high would you say the bluff is behind my parents' old house with the rope swing?
It's a good 15 feet. 15 feet's farther. No, 15 feet's farther than you think. I
it's
think
farther
it's,
than 15 feet.
It's all right. How's this? I'm being conservative. It's at least 15.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't think I've fallen 30. I'll tell you this. I've never fallen 30 feet into a hole. How about that?
Okay. I have fallen off a ski lift because I was having a spitting contest with my friend, and we got the tips of our skis tangled in some wires leading to a maintenance shed.
Cool.
She fell off first and then pulled me. And we landed on the roof of the shed. Like by the time we actually fell, like by the time we actually those bars don't do shit on the ski lift, by the way. By the time we slithered under the bars screaming and actually let go of the thing, we landed on the roof of a shed and rolled off. Also it was, you know, there was a lot of snow.
I've jumped off a roof. It was one story. Me and the homies at one point were having a who is willing to jump down the most stairs contest.
Sure. Oh, we did that when I was a kid.
I did the whole flight. It was in the upper balcony at church during church. The noise is really fucking loud, but I won. I think that's the farthest I've ever jumped. It was mega church, mind you, so we're talking a serious flight of stairs.
Yeah, yeah.
So this was just a normal flight of stairs, but I was very small. The house where I grew up in has one of those one of those staircases that goes, that turns 180 degrees in the middle of it. So it's like half flight of stairs, landing, turn around, half flight of stairs down. And my brother and I and our two neighbor boys who were like staggered with us in age. So we were just this like natural little quartet. We had this thing called flight school. And the object was to jump from the top of the stairs and see who could slap the wall the highest.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And then you would kind of slide down the wall like a bug.
Yep.
And land on the landing. I don't think anybody ever got hurt, but we were pretty little, and it was only like 8 steps. I think the ski fall was farther.
Mostly I'm impressed that, and the cops don't want to say this, but they know it's true.
Mm. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I fell 20 feet off a climbing wall, and my belayer did not hold the rope.
Was there padding?
I wouldn't hear if I saw your big ass coming down. I get out of the way.
Mm. Are we talking indoor padding or what?
I had the advantage of falling onto shredded like shoe
foam.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like shredded, oh, like shredded rubber.
Like that playground stuff, yeah.
Yeah, that stuff which I'm pretty sure now gives you like some sort of heinous cancer. But it did manage to actually save my ass because I landed on that. And I will tell you, falling from 20 feet, it feels, you're like, oh, I'm dead.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure. Like,
the thing, it just takes so long.
It takes so long, but I will say this, the impact is so short. You're like, wow, I didn't know I could have that much of my ass kicked in that short a span of time.
I'm thinking about like the tallest cliff I ever jumped off of. You know, when you're a dumb kid, you jump off a cliff into a lake, and like that first split second of like, I want to go back. You can't. You're just going to keep going for a long, long, long time.
Yes. If you've ever, my experience was jumping off a makeshift high dive at a sinkhole, and I decided,
yep.
I decided to go like Olympic diver head first instead Holy of shit. Just like jump and go feet first.
Great idea.
And as I was tumbling the wrong way, that's like you have enough time to realize, oh, that's not what I should have done.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a fun feeling.
Yeah, it's not a. Go ahead.
I don't think this is higher than the rope swing. I did do attempt to do a gainer into a quarry that's on the other side of town, and I somehow got like twisted around sideways and hit, if you've ever hit water from that far up with the side of your body, with anything but your feet, it creates like a mottled bruise wherever your skin touched the water first. Mm-hmm. And it just looks like you've been beaten with a tangerine. Like wherever your body hit first, but only on one side.
But I think what we have learned from this story, which the cops don't want to admit to, is that the problem is not doing dangerous things. It's doing dangerous things without being under the influence of alcohol, LSD, cocaine, and marijuana.
Like, at the same time.
When you make that potion in this version of Resident Evil, the zombies can't hurt you.
You know what else he was clearly taking? Fiber.
I do have some questions about the covered in feces part. I want to know where that happens in the story.
Like,
I want to know how that happens in the story.
Did he arrive with that as a costume, or did the impact cause it?
Was this like a former like porta potty pit?
Would love to know that as well. Yes, many questions.
Yikes.
If you fell 30 feet into a pile of human excrement, man, that's Bill's fan, baby. They should probably put his number up.
That's so long that on the way down, he had time to think, man, fuck Ken Dorsey. Like,
it might be Ken Dorsey's fault. We don't know.
I mean, you know, drops are a problem, boys. That's so far. 30 feet so far.
Yeah, you have so many thoughts.
That's way too far.
That's so long. You have time to think about how many thoughts you're thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he probably actually also thought, "Oh man, I'm covered in shit. That's wild."
I also appreciate that in this version of the news story, the verb they use is that he mentioned to police that he was under the.
I'd drop this here.
It's none of your business, but
officer.
So Ryan, can you just go over the toxicology one more time, just because I want to clarify.
Yeah.
Just list them one at a time.
Toxicology sounds like he was fine.
Alcohol
helped.
LSD
did not help. I will guarantee you that did not help.
Might
experience.
Have been the cause.
Mm-hmm. Cocaine.
Mega helped with the...
Helped in the first second. Didn't help from that point
I think
forward.
It's what bounced him back up.
Right.
Marijuana.
Definitely helped.
Helped
definitely.
After the cocaine world.
Yeah, exactly.
There's also going to
limp on impact, though, and thus suffer fewer like bone injuries, right?
There's
I'm a doctor.
There's one more quote here from the Erie County Sheriff. You wouldn't be in a port. Sorry, I'll back up here. When you're taking LSD, cocaine, and marijuana, you're going to not read the signs. You're not going to read anything. You wouldn't be in a porta potty, jumping inside it, covered yourself with human excrement. You wouldn't be doing that. Oh. This is a very isolated issue.
Oh,
so I think. If I'm understanding correctly,
a picture reveals itself.
I think this man pre-coated himself in feces and then jumped into the hole.
Did he? Was the pit in the porta potty?
Unclear.
Was the porta potty on top of a dormant volcano?
No, I think he
Buffalo's
he
amazing.
I think he went from porta potty to scaling fence to hole.
Because you could read this as he was sitting there. He stood up and he. Jumped, got skinny, and went straight through the toilet hole himself.
He's Super Mario Brother.
And
down
then
to
for
two,
a time
correct.
Lived as Gollum down beneath yes. the porta potty. Yes.
Met and married Hilary Swank's character from The Core, raised five beautiful children.
To wrap this story up from the journalistic side, Sheriff Garcia praised the sellout crowd at Sunday's game, calling it the, quote, best behaved crowd that we've seen since our administration has been in place.
This man.
If this is the worst I got to deal with, I'll take it.
I guess once you get him down in the pit, he's pretty docile.
One other arrest was made after the game. A man was charged with harassment for attempting to fight other people. Sometimes it is best to just go back to the old ways.
I hope this man takes the lesson from this, is that he's capable of extraordinary things. And he
he 100% thinks he can't die now. Like, he's like, Unbreakable is real, and I am Bruce Willis.
Yeah, like somewhere a man played by Ed Harris in a beret and military uniform is like, find me that man's number. We need him.
Bring me the Super Bill. We must study his terrible smelling blood.
You know who would have pulled that F-35 out of the air and guided it in? That's
Super
right.
Super Bill.
Super Bill. He would have parachuted down onto that thing like a COD mission.
We're going to send him into the swamps, into the Congaree.
Would have been the best quick time episode ever in a COD game. Press X to grab F-35 with hands. Guide to ground. Press. Riding it like a horse and cooing into its ear, being like, you got this, big fella.
Boss, you're low on LSD. Press Y.
Oh my god, you just landed on the perfect name for those planes.
Mm-hmm.
Old Paint.
Old Paint, that's right.
He found the solid snake, that's for sure. Yeah.
That's why you're the best boss.
That's what the cocaine's for.
Like, he hit the ground, and immediately it was like, S. You get an S tier for this mission. Congratulations.
It's just speed. He really speed ran that one. Incredible time, boss.
You laugh, but Hideo Kojima's like,
we don't laugh.
This is a very good idea for a mission.
We're not laughing. This is
very serious. I think there's probably also some part of Buffalo law enforcement that's like, well, the Bills did win, so maybe this was lucky. Look what happened when they played the Jets and nobody fell into a 30-foot pit.
Are you trying to say
like,
that? Trying to say that
Midsommar when the ceremony of people jumping off the cliff. It's like more like Midwinter, I guess.
Yeah,
but,
like
there we go.
It's Buffalo, but
Midbromar. Yeah.
All right, who's next? Josh Allen needs to play a normal game this week. We just need him to go out there and just throw normal passes, not do any crazy stuff. Who's going to jump in the pit?
All right. I will be the incarnate.
First, don't forget.
I will
be
the incarnate vessel this week for all of the disorder and chaos in the Bills world.
I will make Josh
alone
Allen normal.
Will channel it right. Get the ketamine, Marv.
That's for the playoffs.
That's for the playoffs.
We gotta beat the fucking Dolphins.
They won't. You eased into the pit. That's why we lost. You're supposed to fall. No, don't just lower yourself gently.
Why does this man have a wingsuit and he's covering himself in bull's blood? Never mind. Never mind.
I hope this becomes the halftime show at Bills games going forward.
The Thursday nighter with like Al Michaels, like, oh, and some local yahoo is jumping into the shit pit. Just like bored out of his mind by
Kirkham Street's like, this is normal at Ohio State.
Yeah, I don't see this. Well, Al, I really like his technique, but I don't know if it would fly in the Big Ten.
You know, the thing is to really get into a porta potty, it's all about footwork.
This is a Stanford mascot looking at this guy being like, surviving that? Amateur. I die every time I do it.
That's why there's a new one of me every year.
That's right.
That's what happens.
There's advantages. There's free tickets. You get a parking pass and you die.
Speaking of free tickets. Well, they're not free, but.
Folks, if you would like to attempt something incredibly daring and impressive at a Stanford game, in fact. Mm-hmm. Arizona-Stanford's coming up. It's on Pac-12 Network, which means there's no other way to see it except for going to GameTime.co.
Oh, the F-35 actually runs on Pac-12 Network, so.
Oh, if you're an F-35, if it can fly. So what do? You just sit in it and turn it on and
That's
just
correct.
Don't go anywhere and
That's
just
the,
enjoy the Pac-12 yes. Network?
Yep.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Failing that, unless you're the lucky South Carolinian who has recovered the horrible plane, simply go to gametime.co. Do not say gametime.com. I didn't. I said gametime.co. That's where you can buy tickets to stuff. Buying tickets to your favorite events shouldn't be stressful. Game Time is a fast and easy way to buy tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, and theater near you. With killer deals on last-minute tickets and their best price guarantee, you can stop stressing over the tickets and can start getting hyped for all the fun you'll have.
I'm on the way to the game, brother. This is a serious ad.
It's the place for last minute ticket deals. Forget planning months in advance. Yeah, see, this ad copy is actually targeted for us. Planning months in advance. What the hell does that mean? Game Time guarantee means you'll always get the best price. If you find tickets same section and row for less, Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code FULLCAST for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code FULLCAST for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
Shouts to the brave soul who on Game Time right now has listed tickets to Arizona Stanford for $221 apiece.
Good for you.
There are a lot of tickets for this game that don't cost near that much, but somebody says, I will drag this market higher, guys.
Well, for a lucky FullCast listener, they're only 200.
That's right. That's right.
It's summer. Major League Baseball's in full swing, and there's one app for you if you want last-minute deals on Major League Baseball games, and that's GameTime.co. That's right, GameTime.co. I'm looking at the app right now, and I'm picking out America's team, really, the Kansas City Royals. And at Kauffman Stadium, just in a couple days, there's tickets available for $16. And then, well, I don't want to up the stakes too much here, but let's go to next week. It looks like they're playing the Chicago White Sox. There are tickets available right now for $3. You could see a Major League Baseball game in Chicago for $3. What stadium, you ask? Not important. It's in Chicago. But GameTime.co is not just for Major League Baseball games, even though you can get great deals for that. You can also get great deals for concerts, football games. Those are going to be coming up pretty soon. You can find them on GameTime.co. I use GameTime.co to purchase last-minute tickets for an Olivia Rodrigo concert. Tyler Childers did not show up at mine. That would have been awesome, but it was awesome nonetheless. And GameTime.co made it super easy. I got my parking through GameTime.co, and I got great tickets for my wife and I. GameTime.co made all of that so easy and one of the greatest concert experiences I've ever had in my entire life. And I'll be using them again. In fact, I'm seeing a little bit called The Beaches in late September. And where did I get my ticket? That's right, even ahead of time. I didn't wait till the last minute because GameTime.co has you covered then as well. That's what I love about it. Whenever I want to get a ticket for an event, whether I heard about it months before and procrastinated to no end and have left myself in a lurch, you can save up to 60% off buying last minute for sports, concerts, comedy, theater, anything else. So Take the guesswork out of buying MLB tickets with GameTime. You can download the GameTime app, create an account, and use code FULLCAST for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code FULLCAST for $20 off. Download GameTime today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
Is it time to read the schedule?
Schedule time. Number schedule. God damn it. I was looking at your face and it made me laugh. Oh, that sounded really mean. I just mean that fine. You were laughing and it set me off.
No, I'm used to it.
Thursday night, whatever. Yeah. Hey, man, we got two winning teams with Georgia State Coastal. Winning
Georgia
record.
State's undefeated, right?
Yeah. Also, do you know what we did last week? We got all the way through haranguing last week's schedule without pointing out that, well, you know, when we say this week's are boring, some weird shit happens, and then some weird shit happened.
Yeah. I mean, I feel at this point it went without saying. Pretty decent Friday night. You know, no awful teams other than Virginia.
But yeah. That means we get to watch Calandria, who is always good for something.
Air Force is pretty fun to watch this year. Air Force can move the ball. They're a lot of fun.
They can move the ball, and they're the entertaining. Actually, I would add this. I think both Army and Air Force are extremely entertaining triple option teams, because especially since Army has gone even further back into the past by putting the quarterback in shotgun, so it looks like he's running the single wing, right? Looks like he's running like some single wing T-shirt. They're both really entertaining triple teams, if that is your bag. Also, man, you're not above Sun Belt on a Thursday. Hell, nope. Sun Belt on a Thursday, nope. Man, that's family entertainment.
Nope. And that game in South Carolina, F-35 might show up. You don't know.
Yeah.
Never mind.
You know what? Listen, F-35 is not above Sun Belt football either, because it ain't above anything.
How's your ground game?
I mean, the F-35 is allergic to the sun, so I'm not sure if it would be watching the Sun Belt.
How's your ground game? Stronger than I want it to be.
Committed. Established.
I will also state that if you want... Have you watched San Diego State? Like, even, like, 2 minutes of San
Fuck
Diego
no.
State?
No.
Yeah, I watched the Oregon State game because I hadn't really had a chance to see DJ.
Oregon State enjoyed themselves immensely.
Yeah. It's bad.
San Diego
That's
State
it.
Is...
That's all.
Yeah.
That was interesting for a minute.
Yeah.
And not anymore.
Can I immediately fast forward to, like, I think a really good noon slate on Saturday? Because I want
beginning with the return of the king.
Good noon Saturday.
Jim Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh, who went to a place he's never been before, which a salad bar?
That man's been to a salad bar, but it's all iceberg and ranch.
It's one of those bacon bits and cottage cheese situations.
Sure. A Stevie B's is not a salad bar, but
that's actually, wild.
Are there burger bars? Oh, that's Fuddruckers.
That's wild that you went immediately to Michigan, because my first thought was to go to Auburn, Texas A&M.
Wow.
Because this is Auburn. This is Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
As a road dog with no discernible trace of offense. And
not
no,
meaningfully so,
against an A&M team that should win. Brother, that there's a button.
Certainly needs to win.
Needs to win and should be more talented.
A&M is a touchdown favorite, which tends to go really great.
Like, I think it was Bruce Feldman who has already started the, like, they're starting to find the money to fire Jimbo. And, like, if they lose to this Auburn team, they're going to start finding that money a lot faster.
Let's find some more.
It's exciting to find a use for Auburn.
Basically, A&M boosters are going to turn into Mario when he finds the one coin, the one brick. He keeps it. Ding, 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 ding.
So he goes down the pipe and it's the money room. The coin sewer. The Aggie coin sewer. It's time.
So I don't know if, I don't know how much Auburn you've watched, but
Cal, none. Fucking Cal.
Yeah, it's only Auburn and Cal.
If you've watched a senior citizen try to back into a parking space in the last week, you've watched Auburn's offense.
No, It's if you watched a senior citizen try to back into a parking space, and then they got out, and two other senior citizens tried because Auburn keeps rotating who gets to get behind the wheel of this car.
Elder abuse is about the only free space they have left on their bingo card, isn't it?
It's true.
It's time. But yeah, this is hilarity. This is tragic comedy, and it has it written all over the place, especially with A&M coming off. I think, like, Miami kicked their ass. That score is much closer than I think the actual game was, especially in terms of how both teams came out of that game feeling. Like, they just got their ass beat by Miami.
Yeah, A&M had, like, two short fields that they scored on, right?
Yeah, that's it. And then the rest of the time, they just got owned. They got at every key, like, ooh, this is the game. They not only like lost that play, they lost it in embarrassing and decisive fashion. Auburn in this role, this is what they were born for. This is what you were made for. This is the fire has forged you for this moment, Auburn. I want you to be like that little, I have COD on the brain now that I mention it. In Modern Warfare, you could get like a little buggy loaded with like TNT that you could drive a little remote control car to go detonate with somebody. That's what Auburn is for A&M this week. Just all ground game, all explosive.
I think it's very funny, Florida State Clemson, before the season started, this was sort of circled as like, wow, this is a big one. This could be, you know, this could be a playoff quarterfinal, basically. And then one weekend it was, wow, Florida State, the ACC is theirs now. The changing of the times. And now it's like, number four FSU is favored by 2 against an unranked team. Because rankings are funny things when it comes to putting your money on them.
Did I already say this? I don't feel like FSU spent nearly long enough in the wilderness before getting interesting again. Although I'm grateful that they are interesting.
I mean, it is. Yeah, I thought they
wildernessed
too.
Hard, though.
Yeah, that's
true. You think they doubled up on their...
And it's year 4.
Yeah, they doubled up on their class load.
Yes. COVID year kind of...
unlike them.
The COVID year kind of screws up our time frame there because...
No, you're right.
You know, that went either so quickly or so slowly.
Like 21 was quite bad, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, yes, like 21
is where they lose to Jacksonville State.
Yeah, he almost
four
didn't.
Losses.
He almost didn't make it.
Yeah, but they should have done that like a couple years in a row for fun.
It went just so fast though. Like went from like preseason number 2 to oh goddamn,
almost as fast as an F-35 falling from orbit.
Do you all know the last time Florida State beat Clemson?
Was it the Taj Boyd game? Was it the 52?
I was there, and I can't remember. I was there, and I can't remember the year. That's how sad this is.
Is that 14 or 15?
2014, no. But it's a closer game. It's 23-17.
The game you're thinking of was 2013. Spencer.
Yes, you're thinking of
The 2013 game where it was like.
That's the last time Florida State beat Clemson.
I was at that game, but I just can't remember what year it was.
Yeah,
2014 is the last time Florida State won this game.
And at that time, it was FSU was the bully, and it's like, wow, Clemson can't get over the hump. And
mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm excited to overreact to this game in either direction. Frankly.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, hell yeah. Mm,
so,
can I tell you a wish?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be fun if, in the last year before the conferences melt into an unrecognizable pile of goo, if this was the year we got the Florida State Miami?
ACC championship game.
Yeah, it
finally happens. Yes.
Just once.
Yes, especially because it'll be a rematch. They'll play in the regular season, and if they have to play again in the that's beautiful. I love that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they better get it done now because we all know it's going to be Stanford Syracuse going forward.
I did have a Syracuse listener complain about us not really giving them enough credit and said we made fun of Garrett Schrader.
Hey, we spent like 5 minutes trying to remember if Syracuse was public or private. That counts.
We were not making fun of Garrett Schrader. Garrett Schrader's awesome. We were having a little bit of fun at the notion that just like Garrett Schrader is running 300 yards a game but only getting credit for 150 yards rushing.
This
because...
is a longstanding pro Dino Babers program. What new blood is talking like this?
I know.
I mean, Syracuse does this like, oh, they're kind of a Maryland. They do this, so yeah, oh, we're 4-0 thing, you know, every year. And then, oh, we're 4-8. So, like, give me a month or two to come
also,
around on.
Like, I can't. It's a win over Purdue. I can't gas you up that much over it. I just can't.
Yeah, also, you're about to play Army. So I hope you make the best of your possessions because you're getting 5 of them.
Rations.
Yeah, you're getting rationed because, yeah, buddy, they're gonna uncork 12-yard drive. Mm-hmm. That's what they do.
Mm-hmm. Let's see, SMU, TCU, going away. The skillet's going away.
Yeah, the TCU fans I talked to are sort of like, yeah, we're fine with that.
we're too good for our rivals now. The school that complained for many years about their rivals abandoning them.
A classic ACC Big 12 rivalry game that will be disappearing soon.
Can I hear this in David Attenborough voice?
I know we have not met our federally minimum amount of time mandated to talk about Colorado. Would like to say just one thing. I think Deion Sanders telling his team that they needed to win because Jay Norvell was annoying as hell, I really deeply relate to that level of, like, that form of motivation. Like, go out and win to make this annoying person unhappy. That's, like, the most Twitter shit I've ever heard from a coach. And I would like to acknowledge that I thought that was effective.
It worked. It worked for both teams. Like, this was just textbook wrestling promo stuff. Like, a game even the teams didn't care about for, like, 5 to 10 years was, like, the talk of the, like, in all of sports, the talk of the country for a weekend.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And a shitload of people watched it on television.
At 2 a.m. Eastern, there were people who don't even watch football who were posting about this.
Yeah, game. Yeah. Like, one's hat must be tipped if you got, what was it, 9 million people to watch Colorado yes. State? That's fucking yes. crazy.
Like, I mean, I think this might have been the thing
that... slumber party and all the popular kids showed up.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, this might have been the thing that I think really made it sink in for a lot of hardcore college football fans, how big a crossover deal is. Because, like, I don't know, I feel like we have had this notion as college football people for a long time that, like, we have a New York Yankees. It's called either Ohio State or Alabama or Notre Dame, depending on your perspective, right?
Yep, yep.
No, we didn't. We do now. Now we understand, like... what it's like to have the entire focus of your sport is about one thing. Like,
I think this is more of a Dallas Cowboys situation where the level of attention is there and maybe they're good, but maybe they're not. I think they're more in that level, though the Yankees suck this year.
So are the Cowboys like, what's the difference between Yankees and Cowboys there?
I think whether it's liked or not, the Yankees have enough like success that we remember that we can be like, well, yeah, I understand why we're talking about this team that won a bunch of World Series and whatever, and like the Cowboys do not.
Okay, yeah. So it's
just a slightly different.
Basically, thing. We have the Cardinals became the Cowboys overnight.
Yes.
And yeah, the game is completely changed. Like, college football famous is not actual sports famous.
No,
like,
not even a little.
Go look up Google Trends Tim Tebow's career. The height of his popularity was as a Bronco, not as a mm-hmm. Gator. Johnny mm-hmm. Manziel was more famous as a pro than as a college player.
Like, don't forget this.
Deion
it's so
is the actual rare celebrity in college football, and this is his biggest game yet. It's only going to get louder until he loses, and then it'll be a different kind of noise mixed in.
They also have a playing style, by the way, that's going to keep this hype train going because they're capable of scoring points. Meaning, they ain't going to get skunked. Like, I don't think Oregon's going to skunk them. I think even if Oregon scores 40, if they score 50, Colorado's going to be right there points-wise. You know, they'll score 30. They'll score 35. Yeah. And it will look more respectable than it actually was.
I think you're right. The first half against Nebraska sort of like pushes against that because they really could not get they couldn't move the ball that well against the best defense that they've played all year.
But they get deep in games and you can't keep up with those receivers for that long, provided you keep Sanders upright. That is the one thing where you go, okay, the most interesting question in this game is not anything concerned with Colorado because I know they can't protect him. It's whether Oregon's going to be able to pressure them. That's the thing where you go, okay, I don't know that, and I want to see that because all I've seen thus far out of Oregon is them absolutely immolating much lesser opponents for sport.
Colorado's offense is going to be all or nothing, and there's going to be some all.
Yeah.
Like, the thing about this is, like, say Oregon wins by 30, so much of the country will love that.
Like, yeah.
The Schadenfreude meter is maxed out. Like, you know, the interest is not going down in any way anytime soon.
Finally, the defenders of respectable tradition, the Oregon Ducks, are here to save us.
Old school football.
We're tired of this flashy Colorado Buffaloes team. We need the old school sensibilities of Bo Nix and the Oregon Ducks.
We need the meat and potatoes Oregon Ducks in their neon uniforms to come and
their uniforms made of sunglasses. They will
There's a not insubstantial chunk of Washington fans that really are like this, and I'm excited to see if they shine this year.
Oh boy!
I have a nagging concern about Colorado that I haven't really seen come to fruition yet, and mathematically that kind of makes sense. And I can't remember if I mentioned this or not. They're playing with their hair on fire right now. And they obviously have got a greater level of a way above replacement level, first year head coach level of team cohesion, right? Mm-hmm. Than they might otherwise have. And I think that the factors that you can credit that to are obvious. I am worried, if I'm worried about anything with this team, I am worried about basic workaday attrition. Like, what happens when they get into the, you know, when they get into the thick of October, and just like every other team, they start, you know, nobody ends the season not beat up. You know, everybody takes injuries, you know, holes pop up on every team. What happens to, you know, how prepared is the next level? You know, how far down the depth chart, you know, can they go without, you know, without making a crucial stumble? Like, it feels very weird to ascribe anything like a normal first year team to this team. But that's the thing that worries me about them right now is like body mass. And you can't really, I mean, they could have no significant injuries for the rest of the season. Who knows? But that's the thing I'm really curious to see what happens is how they stand up and how they fill those holes and how resilient they are when their numbers take a hit, as they inevitably will.
There's one thing maybe working in their favor in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the units on this team are not great to begin with. Like, if you're like, what does that look like for an offensive line that is already having trouble? You know, it's like there isn't that much room to drop. The defense has had some good moments, had some bad moments. Obviously, not having Travis Hunter out there at DB is not ideal. But, like, they... so much of what makes Colorado interesting and effective is Shedeur Sanders and, like, a really interesting and effective wide receiving core, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if they can keep that true, if that can maintain what it is for, I don't know, the next month, like, they'll have more of a chance than you might think. I don't know. I hear what you're saying.
That's fair.
But well, I also think, for what it's worth, that this is not the Pac-12 game I am most interested in this week.
Go on.
I would pick UCLA at Utah.
Yeah, it's a... Mm-hmm. Likely to be a much more competitive game.
Mostly because I am really interested to see what UCLA is this year. Like, they have had... I think it's easy to forget that, like,
we're
so many
under the radar Chip Kelly team.
Well, so often at this point in the season, we have seen UCLA either lose some dumb game or play, like... the South Alabama game last year, where it's like, oh, you really should have lost that, or you really got, like, hung around way too long with
this
team.
Or they pulled a Route 66.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And so far, they've been fine, and they've played Coastal, and they've played San Diego State. Like, they've played teams that in many years would be like, oh, that's the kind of team that can trip you up. They also have like an awesome freshman quarterback in Dante Moore, and
the drop off, by the way,
yeah.
from DTR to Dante Moore. Dante Moore's been more consistent in a lot of ways.
And that feels really weird to say about a freshman. Chip still won't commit to him as the starter. Like, he's still playing the list.
That's right. He has that veteran coach.
Such a bitch.
Veteran offensive coaches do that. They just get snake bit and then they're like, I don't know, I can't find the right one.
No, I mean bitch in like the mean girl sense.
Yes.
It is very mean girls. But
come on.
Additionally, too, there's like one interesting thing. You go, well, all right, they're going to play Utah. What's Utah going to do? Utah's going to limit possessions. They'll get real tough. They'll hunker down and they'll hold on to the ball, right? One, if you've watched Utah offensively, they're not great at stringing together long drives. They are not. And UCLA's already played two teams, San Diego State and Coastal, who that's their MO. Like, they really like to put together long drives, hold the ball, and run the ball on you. And they've performed and acquitted themselves really well against those two teams. So, like, in a styles make fights kind of thing, UCLA stood up to that pretty well. Like, this is going to be squeaky. This feels like a really squeaky game. Like, tight.
Yeah. I think that's right. But I think it'll be fun.
I want to get to my idea of fun, which is a total disaster. And that's... This week, something really unprecedented happened that we kind of let slip in the midst of every other story, which is one coach telling the press what was happening on the staff of another team. Publicly?
And then
saying that they talk, and that's how he knows? Like Lane Kiffin has had...
Your friends like me better.
Yes. Please tell people who might not be as online as we are what you're discussing.
So Lane Kiffin, in a press conference this week... to the Ole Miss press, was asked about the defensive game plan, and unbidden, unprompted, Lane said, yeah, we're preparing for defense is going to be called by Travaris Robinson, not by Kevin
Spencer,
Steele.
Why is that unusual?
It's unusual because Kevin Steele's the defensive coordinator by name at Alabama.
Not the guy that Lane said?
No, not the guy that Lane said, which is Travaris Robinson, who's also on staff at Alabama. And Lane basically said, yeah, he's calling the plays now. And we figured that out just from the looks they were getting from the calls. Like, and when pressed about this, was like, yeah, you know, I mean, like, you know, we know those guys and, you know, like we talk and, you know, you can just tell.
No, this is funny for, well, this is funny for 17 reasons, yeah. But let me lay out two of the reasons that this is important. A, this is exactly the kind of thing that Lane, in for all of his whatever, is a big football dork. This is exactly the kind of thing. It's incredibly plausible that he would know this. It's totally plausible that he would know this. This is not an easily dismissible story. And B, we tossed around reasons. We tossed around reasons in the group chat all week for why he would have said this, but. I think the reason that he said this is very simple. It's because now somebody's going to ask Nick about it.
And somebody did ask Nick about it.
They had to.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Nick had to say, no, that's not true.
I think this is just, I think this is a I'm not even, usually I find this shit irritating from him. This is hilarious.
I am still sort of astonished by that and by the fact that Ole Miss might win this game. Jalen Milroe will be the starter. They're going back to him because...
if he wins this, that LA Times reporter is going to be writing for Cosmo.
Yeah.
By his boyish legs.
Yeah. Jalen Milroe is getting the start because...
I'm pretty sure he said he had boyish legs.
I think the USF game was, okay, Tommy, we'll start your guy. Let's see how he is. And then the reaction was, ass! Oh, God!
I just can't believe there's a guy named Milroe who's not working out for Bama. Like, that seems like a failure of nominative determinism.
Yeah. So
I think he's doing fine. And, like, I mean, remember against Texas, they had two touchdowns called back by penalty. Like,
there is that.
I think quarterback is not the problem. Quarterback depth chart, sure. But I think the starting quarterback
is a problem. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, can Alabama block Ole Miss is a thought I haven't had in decades, but yeah. I don't know if they can block anyone. Like, quarterback is just, it's getting all the attention and like nationally, but quarterback is fine. It's not a worry. It's just not.
Yeah, currently, by the way, Alabama in terms of rushing offense just behind Arizona, Maryland, New Mexico, as to be expected, and teams like South Alabama.
South Alabama is legit.
They are legit.
No slander will be tolerated here.
None. South Alabama, current home of famed Saban imitator Robbie Zell.
Unlike Splits and Duo, all Jaguars are welcome on this program, not just the fancy Jacksonville ones.
I'm irritated just thinking about
did
that.
Did you just say the phrase, the fancy Jacksonville ones?
I did.
You did. That's
is there not a fancy podcast like where we can escape the fucking Jacksonville Jaguars?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can we look ahead to the national title game?
Please, God, yes.
By which I mean, of course, Oregon State at Washington State.
Yes.
The winner of this game will be undefeated, at very least a co-leader in the Pac-12, and should absolutely get some sort of a trophy for winning the left behind cup. Like, whoever wins this is my favorite team for the rest of the year, just period. Whatever that's worth, it's all the prize I can offer.
The Last of Us Bowl.
Yeah.
Also Sam Houston versus Houston. That's fucked up.
Yeah. That's our analysis.
No, that's one of the classic forms.
What a weird looking game.
Is this man versus self or man versus God?
I'm going to say that's man versus God.
Which one Sam. Is God?
Houston.
Sam Houston is God.
Okay, yeah. So we have theological discord here.
Yeah.
Explain some things.
Gonna have to have a conclave about it. I need like 5 years. We need like a traditional medieval conclave where we're like, we need 3 years to discuss this theological issue.
Phew, this
arrange
calls
the wines
for a synod.
And Jesus.
The Houston Synod.
I have dissolved the Houston Synod.
How did you do today? I advanced 2 yards against their argument. Tomorrow I will advance 2 more yards.
Spencer, real quick, can you give me Mac Brown saying Palpatine?
Palpatine.
Thank you.
Can we get somehow Palpatine returned?
Somehow Palpatine returned. I don't think that's quite
no,
it.
Oh, no.
Somehow Palpatine returned. There we go.
I say Notre Dame, sure.
Sure.
More importantly, Iowa, Penn State.
Which, by the way, guess who's got a 2-game win streak going in this rivalry?
Really? I believe you, but...
Iowa.
That's chilling. I don't like to think about that.
Yeah. Huh. They won 2021, 23-20, and they won in 2020, 41-21.
If Iowa beats number 7 Penn State on the road, they're going to rocket up the fucking rankings, and it's going to be very alarming.
And then they'll have to fire Brian anyway.
Yep. And really after this, Iowa has Michigan State, Purdue, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Northwestern, Rutgers, Illinois, Nebraska. If Iowa is good enough to beat Penn State, which we don't know, obviously, there is no real good reason that you can't talk yourself into undefeated regular season Iowa.
It's time to talk to your kids.
They're so grown.
It's entirely possible. And I want you to just think about one of my favorite things, which is James Franklin desperately trying to make something happen against an Iowa front that won't budge out of their fucking cover 3, cover 4. Like, that just won't, like, just stays in their shelf defense. He's like, oh, ha, trick play, ha, fake punt, ha. And they're like, tackle, punt,
the game,
punt.
The game you should not watch and will not learn anything from, USC at Arizona State.
Oh, interesting.
Like,
Start?
That's, I think it's a 9:30 kick.
It's like 10:30 Eastern.
10:30 Eastern, yes.
Yeah, a 5 touchdown spread for you.
Just.
I got some good news. And
5?
I think being a human is a complicated thing, and there aren't a lot of like clear, like, this makes you a good person. If you watch this game and you're not a USC or an Arizona State fan, you are a bad person.
I'm going to be a bad person.
That's fine.
Yep. Arizona State had eight turnovers last week.
Yes.
Eight.
Yielded or?
Coughed up.
Coughed up.
Yes, coughed up 8 turnovers as they got shut out by Fresno State.
So if they improve, if they improve by half, that means handing USC a short field only 4 times.
But a mere 4 times.
At least for part of that game, you could instead be watching UCF Kansas State conference game, sure. Or
Kansas State, this is what you get to do after a very annoying game against Mizzou is host UCF.
Hey, hey, annoying, new most annoying.
I don't know why
here.
Anybody's playing them, but I appreciate that people keep doing it.
It's true.
UNC Pitt.
Ew.
Anybody want to offer a prediction for that? Because you're
no,
you're
but
right.
I kind of want to go.
Whatever you predict, you're right.
If we could just cover the fact that West Virginia, after the Backyard Bowl, had a DB at the press conference say, well, coming into the game, we knew that Pitt's quarterback wasn't very good at his job.
That's actually it. I want to hear Max.
Verbatim.
I want to hear Max shit talk an opposing quarterback and try to make it sound nice.
Well, we know they're limited at
like
quarterback.
Like the anti, like yeah. the bizarro world Bill Stewart, which I guess
I think,
is he already is.
The Mac method there is listing all the positions they're good at.
Sure.
Running back, DB, linebacker,
manager,
tight end, kicker, punter.
They're very
on
good
and on
at
and
their
on
water
on.
Boys are nonpareil.
They're very good at left guard and right guard.
Can you say nonpareil in Max voice?
Nonpareil.
Thanks.
I have one goal this weekend, though, and it is to see an angry, sweaty Trent Dilfer. I get to do that because UAB is going to play Georgia. That's all.
No, you're misread. Listen, we started talking about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
You're going to finish.
Trent Dilfer is ready for this game and ready for it to go poorly because you know what? He just loves to compete. He just loves to compete with the best. It doesn't matter if UAB gets blown out in this game. He's just going to be so thrilled.
I thought you were going to say he loves attention, and this is the only way anyone will watch UAB.
There will
season.
Be a little bit of that, too.
No, look into his eyes. There's just going to be pain. Just dying behind those eyes.
He's got those little, like, he's black Steamboat Willie eyes, too.
You're telling me Trent Dilfer is going to be, Trent Dilfer is going to have a bad time being surrounded by fellow golfers? No. He's going to, this is not going to stress him in the
fellow
slightest.
Golfers who know he's bad at his job?
The other game, I think you should not watch, but for a very different reason than the USC Arizona State game.
God damn it.
It's Oklahoma State at Iowa State.
Disagree.
These are
definitely a preseason predicted anxiety bowl.
So there's a tier of game in college football that I love at this point in the season, which is the two men, one parachute game.
This might be short round screaming, no more parachutes.
It's not the first time Mike Gundy's going to lose sleep over a result in Iowa.
This is Mr. Bond telling you, you know, see you next fall and pulling the ripcord as you fall.
Sure.
There are more than a few two-man, one parachute games on this schedule. Oklahoma State, Iowa State's definitely one of them. Yeah. Another one is Arizona at Stanford. That is yet another one. Another one is Mississippi State at South Carolina. Two teams that are both.
No.
I think that's.
No,
yes.
No way.
Definitely. South Carolina's 1-2.
Yeah. They got to make something decent happen. And then there is yet one more.
They're 1-2 after playing whom again?
Georgia and UNC.
Right.
Yeah. I tend to agree with Holly, but I will say if they lose to Mississippi State,
look, I'm not any happier
go...
than you are about UNC showing up the way they did, but they showed up.
If they lose to Mississippi State, that's shit. That's
yes, but
bad.
If
that
but if Mississippi State
also
right
look
but
at the
but
position
if Mississippi
on the
State
schedule.
Loses to South Carolina, like.
Yeah.
That's fine.
It depends on how and if they lose.
I would put the stress on the level of Campbell and Gundy, though.
Yeah.
Whew, that's bad. That's the worst one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, to be clear, my only problem is setting this game as equal to
not equal, no.
Oklahoma State, Iowa State.
No, it's a much lesser version.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was the other one that you were going to say?
Oh, I think. In terms of making someone's season dramatically worse with a loss.
Hey.
Dramatically worse. Kentucky at Vandy?
Oh, no.
There's a lot of potential bad news.
Kentucky's been real
game.
Quiet. Why don't you catch us up on where they're at?
Kentucky had a weird one against Eastern Kentucky
they
two
did,
weeks
and
ago.
We didn't talk about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. They had a weird one against a weirdly close one against Eastern Kentucky where Holly, to paraphrase you, they did let Eastern Kentucky
they
let
got
them
cute.
They got cute, and Eastern Kentucky let Kentucky hang around before that. And then they blasted Akron. But we don't have a whole lot of data on Kentucky. Not meaningful data in terms of, you know, not that we have it on anybody, but like
Kentucky
there's not
data.
There's not a whole lot of clarity. Like, you have a good game against Akron. Okay, that was Devin Leary's first like super solid game as a starter there, and they face Vandy and Florida in the next couple of weeks. Hmm. Also, Vandy needs something, man. Vandy's played some wild ass games, absolutely wild ass games.
I think it is better if they. I agree that it's better if they win. Yeah, they probably do need to win this based on like what they would like to be under Clark Lee at this point.
You're fighting for the basement, buddy.
Well, I mean, like, I think it's not unreasonable.
I think we thought they'd at least be plucky at this point, and they're not even plucky. They're not even pesky.
You don't think Vandy's plucky?
Not right now.
Okay. I think they can pass the ball well enough to be plucky, actually.
I think they're by Vandy standards.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, and I think after they started 2-0, I think it was like, okay, there is a path to bowl eligibility. That path got a little harder after losing to UNLV, but I think if they can beat Kentucky, they can say, can we get 3 wins with what's left of the schedule? Like, maybe barely by the skin of our teeth. But still, like, even if they go 5-7, like, that's fine. But if they don't beat Kentucky, now you're talking like two and ten is on the table.
Yeah, where are you going to find them, right? Like, yeah. this is now the point where you start looking down the calendar and going, oh, brother, we need something on the left side of the ledger, not the right.
Budgeted poorly, yes.